Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. Today is Wednesday. It's October the 28th, and we're going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes. At least I am. I hope you'll be able to join me for the entire time. You know the rules here. I've got a chair reserved for you right across from me. You bring your beverage. You bring your snack. I got my beverage. We're going to just hang out and talk about Jesus, specifically how he wants to get involved in your day-to-day life, meaning he wants to help you with your problems. He wants to help you as you struggle. Oftentimes we take it upon ourselves to try to solve all of our problems, but really the Lord doesn't want you to do that, and he wants to help you. And it's my job to help remind you of that fact. Now today, I want to look at the church celebrates today the feast of Saint Simon and Saint Jude. These are two of the apostles. We don't know a whole lot about either one of these guys, specifically Saint Simon. We don't really. He kind of gets lost in the shuffle, but he was one of the original 12, as depicted by Jesus. The gospel, the first reading, the responsorial psalm from today's daily mass, they're picked out specifically for this day. So it's a feast, it's an apostle feast. That's a big day. So the church gives us specifically chosen readings to match this day, this celebration of two of the apostles. Again, we don't know too much about Saint Simon and Saint Jude. Saint Jude is best known as the patron saint of hopeless cases. And I'm friends with Saint Jude. I really am. There have been many times when I have turned to him for his help. And I would encourage you to do the same today, too. It can be a little mysterious as to how the saints get involved in our lives, how they can help us with our problems. And what the church teaches is that saints are not divine. They are humans, just like you and just like me. But they have the ability to intercede in a similar way to the way you can pray for my intentions. They have the ability to intercede for us to the Lord, to take our prayer, our problems, our concerns, our issues, and bring them to the Lord, to take our prayers and bring them to him. It's just another way to really go to the Lord. And, you know, the church offers us the intercession of the saints. The church offers the intercession of the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, two of the top of the line saints, if you will. And also we can go directly to Jesus, we can go to the Father, we can go to the Holy Spirit. You don't want to restrict your prayers to one specific way. I think we can limit ourselves when we do that. So by turning to the saints, it's in an elevated way, it's asking somebody to intercede for you. You know, I say elevated because you can ask me to pray for you, but the church teaches that the prayers of the saints are going to be more effective because they are in heaven. They live these exemplary lives than the prayers of the average Joe on the street. Now, that doesn't mean you can fully understand this. I don't expect you to, because I don't fully understand it, but I do know what has been the history of the church. But getting back to St. Jude, tradition has it. I've always often wondered why it is that St. Jude has become the patron saint of hopeless cases. And that sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? Hopeless cases. And from what I have read, now this is tradition, this is nothing official, this is what they call pious tradition. St. Jude was often confused. He was sometimes referred to as Judas in the Gospels. He was often confused with Judas Iscariot, and we all know what he did. And because of that, people would be hesitant to turn to Jude for intercession, confusing him with St. Judas, with St. Jude, not St. Judas. Strike that. Confusing him with Judas. Therefore, and again, this is a tradition. This is not doctrine. This is not dogma. This is a tradition. And it's kind of cool. The idea is that St. Jude didn't have a lot of things. He didn't have a lot of intentions to pray for because nobody was turning to him. And once people did start to turn to him for prayer, miraculous results began to come about because of his prayers. Now, you can believe that, you can choose to not believe that, But what I do know is that many miracles over the years have been attributed to the intercession of St. Jude. So I would recommend that if you are in a hopeless predicament, and many of us find ourselves in situations that we would classify as being hopeless or or at the very least being difficult, and we get sometimes beside ourselves thinking about how am I ever going to get past this problem, I would urge you to give it a try. Turn to St. Jude, ask for his help. Say, St. Jude, I'm really desperate. I hear you're the patron saint of hopeless cases. Would you please pray for me? And that shouldn't stop you from turning to Jesus in prayer, from turning to the Holy Spirit in prayer, from turning to the Father in prayer. You can do all of that. But it really wouldn't hurt to get a saint on the job. And look, this is part of that mystery of prayer. Prayer can be pretty mysterious. We don't fully understand the ins and outs of prayer. And if when we try to reduce it to a formula or to try to come up with an equation that if I pray in this way for X amount of days or so many iterations, then I will get exactly what I want. Because that's never true. You can never say that. Because oftentimes we are praying for things because we can't see the big picture. I can't see the complexity of my life and how it relates to everybody else's life in the world. And I can't see my weaknesses. I might think I can, but God knows better than I do the things that can cause me, can make it difficult for me to get to heaven. Therefore, by granting my request, if I'm asking for something, it might cause me spiritual harm. You know, if I'm praying for a job that pays more money and I have a problem with greed, that might cause problems and it might hurt my relationship with God, and it could subsequently hurt my chances of making it to heaven. Again, we're not going to see this because we have imperfect knowledge. We have imperfect vision. We don't see the big picture. So I'm sometimes going to ask for things that are not good for me or not good for me at this time or not good because if the Lord grants me what I'm asking for, it might hurt somebody else. It's very complicated and we don't have to worry about that. So that's why I caution you to be careful that you don't reduce prayer to a certain formula or a quid pro quo type of relationship where you go to God and you say, listen, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. It should never work that way, and it doesn't work that way. And God loves you too much to let it happen that way. So he's not going to give you something that's bad for you unless in doing so, he can somehow bring a greater good out of it. You know what it comes down to? You pray for something, you pray for what you think you need, and then the best thing to do is to trust that whatever answer you receive is the best answer. And sometimes that answer is a non-answer. Sometimes God waits to grant you what it is that you're asking for. Sometimes he appears to be silent, you know, and this is all part of the spiritual journey. Sometimes it's really frustrating. Sometimes it drives me crazy. But if you continue to spend time in the presence of Jesus, if you continue to just speak to him throughout the day when you remember, and I've found that the more you do it, the more you will remember, the more natural it becomes. But the more time you spend with him, the more time you receive him in the sacraments, you encounter him in the sacraments, you receive him in Holy Communion, you spend time praying before his real presence in adoration, the more time you read scripture, the more time you spend in prayer, what's going to happen is you will get closer to Jesus, you'll begin to understand him more, and you'll receive grace. That grace is going to help you be more patient and be more willing to wait for an answer. Because, you know, when you pray, you'll always get an answer. And I'll take it a step further. You'll always get an answer immediately. Unfortunately for us, that answer sometimes is, well, hold on, wait. You know, but that's an answer. If I'm praying for something and I don't get what I asked for, but I don't get a no, well, then the answer I received was wait. Now's not the time. And I think sometimes that's harder to deal with than no, because we don't know how to we don't know what to expect. If we get a no, then we can at least adjust. But sometimes it's harder to get a wait than it is to get a no. But that prayer is mysterious, and the same thing for, I'll tell you this about the intercession of the angels and the saints. It can be very confusing how it works and how it all fits together. And none of us can say. All we know is that in some mysterious way, God allows us to cooperate with his work through prayer. When I pray, something happens. What that something is, I can't say for sure. I've seen miraculous answers to prayer in my life. I've seen miraculous answers that have developed over time. And that when I look back, I think, wow, look at what just happened. But by just, it's happened over a period of months. So I believe that prayer works, but I think we can all be tempted at times to express dissatisfaction with the results that we're getting from prayer and be tempted to give it up. All right, that's the danger. That's the danger. So today, I encourage you to turn to St. Jude in prayer. And in fact, we'll invoke his intercession when we pray to the Father. And we'll also invoke the intercession of St. Simon. And again, St. Simon's one of these guys, not to be confused with St. Simon Peter. He's one of those guys that we don't know a whole lot about. But he was one of the apostles. So Jesus chose him, and he chose him to work through as one of the early leaders of the church, or as one of the leaders of the early church. And it's a reminder that we could do great things for God and be relatively unknown. Now, another tradition is that all of the apostles, with the exception of John, and obviously with the exception of Judas, who committed suicide, all of the apostles we believe to have been martyred, including Simon and Jude. So, again, we don't know too much about them, but we do know that they were chosen by Jesus. Much in the way he's chosen you and me, we might not be given the same role that the initial apostles were, but we're called to spread the good news. We're called to follow him and to do his work in the world. So in a sense, we do have something in common. So with that in mind, let's begin our prayer, and then we'll talk a little bit more about, we'll look at the gospel and maybe a little at the first reading today and talk a little bit about what St. Jude specifically can do for us, how he can help us. And I'll speak directly to any hopeless feelings that you're experiencing right now. Okay, does that sound like a plan? All right, that's good because it's the only one I got. So let's go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you now, October the 28th. It's a Wednesday. This is the only time in history that we will be able to experience, that it will ever be experienced, the date of October 28th, 2020. It happens one time in history, and that's it. So this is a very special time. This is a unique opportunity, Father, to turn to you in prayer, knowing that you listen to us, not fully understanding how the prayer will be, our prayer will be answered. We have an idea, but we're not going to fully understand it, and that's okay, because as long as you continue to do your thing, as long as we can turn to you as a loving Father, as an all-powerful God, we're going to trust that you know what you're doing. Father, we praise you today. We acknowledge your greatness. We acknowledge your power over all of creation. We acknowledge that you have created the entire universe out of nothing. Father, what seems like a big problem for us is not a problem at all for you. We thank you for allowing us to at least partially understand your greatness and how powerful you are. And we turn to you. We thank you for sustaining our lives. We're alive right now, so that proves that you take care of us. You care for our needs. Father, we ask you today to accept our intentions. And through the intercession of St. Jude and St. Simon, We ask you to accept our intentions and please grant them, provided that the answer be good for us. So we're going to leave that in your hands. Your timing is better than our timing. Even though we get frustrated, we're going to trust your timing. We're going to trust you to answer in the best way possible. But we ask you to accept and grant our intentions. Please bless our family and our friends. Please bring peace to the United States. Please end division among people. Please, Father, use me as your instrument on the show today. Please give me the words. Give me the message. And let me know what it is that I should say on the program today. And lastly, Father, please open all of our minds and all of our hearts to accept to hear your message, to accept it, and then to put it into practice. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name, through the intercession of St. Simon and St. Jude. And all together we say amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, well, my name is Gary Zimek. You are listening to Following the Truth. We come to you every Monday through Friday for 30 minutes each day, free of charge. You know, let your friends know about the podcast. As far as I can determine, I'm going to be doing this for a long time to come. I love the interaction. I love for us to be able to get together and spend a little time together. As long as I'm able to do it financially, and a lot of that has to do with your donations, and as long as I'm able to physically do it, to be able to speak, I'm going to keep doing this because I feel it's important that I stay here, that I come on the air and I share this time with you. For more information about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com. I want to bring one other thing to your attention. Now, I don't know when you're going to be listening to this, but today is Wednesday when I record this, Wednesday evening at 6:20 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be on the Busted Halo Show on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, talking about my latest book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. So if you get a chance, I'm sure they do, I think they have archived broadcasts as well. In case you missed the original airing, the Busted Halo Show, 6:20 p.m. today, October the 28th. Check it out. I'll be talking about Let Go of Anger and Stress. It's always a lively discussion when I do the Busted Halo Show. Haven't done it for a while, at least since Give Up Worry for Lent came out, but it's always a great experience, and I hope you'll be able to listen to it. Okay, and again, for more information about my work, visit followingthetruth.com. I mentioned that today is the feast of St. Simon and Jude, and you know, that's another question. Why don't each of these guys get their own feast day? Some of these questions I can't answer. For whatever reason, the church has designated certain apostles, certain saints to be grouped together, and that's the way it is for Simon and Jude. I want to read the gospel. It's pretty short, from today's Mass. And it has to do when Jesus chose his apostles. It's Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. Let me read this and we'll talk a little bit about it. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. You know, I could stop right there, even before we get to the apostles part, and I think there's such a great message for us there. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. He went to a deserted place, as was often his custom, to pray, to communicate with his Father. And he spent the night in prayer to God. Now, that's impressive. And you might say, well, Jesus was God. He was divine. So it wasn't a big deal for him. But it was a big deal for him because Jesus was not only fully God, he was also fully man. So he had a human body. He had a human body just like you and I have a human body, right? Therefore, Jesus could get tired. Jesus could get hungry. And we've seen evidence of that in the Gospels. For him to spend the night in prayer, speaking to his father. Odds are that he was tired when he did it. So the point I'm trying to make is this was a deliberate effort. I'm not telling you have to spend the night in prayer because you're probably not going to survive. You and me, we would probably fall asleep. And that's understandable. But Jesus made a conscious effort to go to a secluded place to pray. He made that effort. And he spent the night in prayer to God. Now, one of the things to consider there is he had a big decision to make. He was going to choose the 12, the apostles. These are the guys who upon whom he would build his church. So they had a very important mission. These guys were the original 12 bishops, and really they were the original members of the church. Because remember, the church grew. The church started out very small and then eventually spread all over the world. But that didn't happen overnight. This was a big decision that Jesus had to make. And so prior to doing it, he went away by himself and he spoke to his father. Now, we don't know what he said, but there was communication going on there, obviously, because that's what prayer is. So I would urge you to look at this example and remember that if you have a big decision to make, make sure you check in with God before you do so. And don't rush. You know, spend your time talking to God about it, telling him that you want to do his will, asking for help. I have forgotten this in the past, many, many times, because I tend to be a bit of an impulsive decision maker. When I get excited about something, even now when I'm working on projects, sometimes I don't remember initially to pray about it. Sometimes I just, you know, I'll say my prayers in the morning, Lord, inspire me. And I'm certainly praying about it. But sometimes I have what I think I have rushed into making decisions and not really spent enough time discerning. Father, is this your will? You know, and that's, I think that's a great lesson we can get from this gospel. And now when day came, Jesus called his disciples to himself. So he called all of his followers to himself. It was more than just the 12 apostles. And from them, from the, you know, we don't know how many followers he had. From the disciples, he called to himself 12, whom he also named apostles. So this is where the 12 apostles were chosen. Simon, whom he named Peter. Now, that's not the Simon we celebrate today. And his brother, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called a zealot. Now, that's the Simon, St. Simon that we celebrate today. And Judas, the son of James. So these two saints are grouped together in the list. Possibly, I don't know this for a fact, but possibly that's the reason the church groups them together and gives them one feast. So we see Simon, who was called a zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So you see St. Jude referred to as Judas. Judas in the list of apostles. And then clearly, Judas the traitor is mentioned. The calling Simon a zealot is possibly a reference to an association with there was what was known as a zealot movement, which desired to their big thing was that they desired to overthrow the occupying Roman authority. So that's the thought about Simon was part of that, or he was a sympathizer. Or part of that party. So we have Simon, we have Jude, and then we have Judas Iscariot. Now, you know what's interesting? This is, again, another good lesson, not specifically related to St. Jude, but among the 12, Jesus chose Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And the church continues to survive despite choosing a member of his inner circle who was a betrayer. Why would Jesus do that? Why would he choose somebody who would betray him, who would end up killing himself? Why would not Jesus choose someone who was more dependable? You know, I think there's a good message there. It reminds us that God can always bring good out of evil. It also reminds us that people can do bad things, including people in positions of authority in the church. They're human. I think that's a good message for us. And it's a good reminder that when we hear about a scandal involving a priest or a bishop or some other member of the church, and even in non-Catholic churches, a leader, we're reminded that the church is bigger than the individuals who make up the church, and that everybody in the church, including the Pope, is a sinner. We're all sinners. But yet, through Jesus and through the power given to his church, we can still do good things, and we can experience salvation through the church, a church made up of sinners. I think that's a positive message, so that when you hear somebody who has fallen, especially somebody who is in a leadership role in the church, we don't freak out. We don't panic, because we can think back to Judas and say, well, wait a minute, the church still exists, and the church, Jesus said, will exist until the end of time. So a number of Judases aren't enough to destroy the church. I think that's a comforting message. So there you go. We are just about out of time. I went off in a bit of a different direction, keyed the message about on the gospel. But I would, as we bring this to a close, I would just encourage you to shoot up a prayer and ask for the intercession of St. Jude if you've got a hopeless situation. And again, say a prayer to St. Simon too. Ask these guys to help you. They knew what it was like to follow Jesus. They knew what it was like to experience difficulties and persecution. They knew what it was like to experience martyrdom. So they're in a position to really help you out. Ask for their help today, okay? God bless you. We'll talk to you next time.